I got it recording.
we'll start off in prayer. Father, we thank you for another wonderful day, a beautiful day, Lord, that you made. Lord, we see you in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Start off here in John chapter 5, and at the end there, it's starting in 5:46. It says, if you really believe what Moses has written, then you would embrace me, for Moses wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, no wonder you do not believe what I say. Mm-hmm. So, I was looking, you know, I've got to reading some of Moses' writings here, and here in Numbers, the 15th chapter, I read a story here, and I thought, man, that's really harsh. Or I thought it was harsh, but it's in Numbers 15:32, and it says that while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering the sticks brought him into Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. And they put him in a ward or in a jail because it was not declared what should be done unto him. And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died at the Lord commanded Moses. And how many of y'all know, you know, if that was still true today, you know, if we was under the law, there'd be a lot of folks got put to death on a Saturday morning for picking up sticks.
Amen.
But if you look back on this, you know, like I say, that sounds kind of harsh. But if you back up until the 22nd verse of Numbers 15, it says, if ye have erred and not observe all the commandments which the Lord spoke unto Moses, even all that the Lord had commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforth among your generations, then it shall be, if all be committed by ignorance, remember this, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for if it is ignorance, and they shall bring their offering, the sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that soweth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. And it goes on and says, if any soul sins through ignorance, this is an individual here, if any single person, if we just talked about a congregation, but it says, if any single person sins through ignorance, then shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. And when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord to make an atonement for him, it shall be forgiven. You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and the stranger. But the soul that doth aught presumptuously, whether he be born to land or to stranger, the same reproach of the Lord, that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commands. That soul shall be utterly cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. But the Lord explains two different types of sins here, a sin of ignorance and a sin of iniquity. Iniquity is knowing the law, but breaking it anyway, and that's what this man here did by picking up those sticks. He knew better, but he did it anyway. And even though as little, you know, as it sounds, the man would surely be put to death because of iniquity. But I got thinking about this, and we see here, remember Jesus on that cross that day, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Mm-hmm. See, that was the sins of ignorance. God was forgiving them, you know. It wasn't just the individual. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But we see the Lord forgive them for sins of a whole congregation. Well, the whole world, really. He forgave the whole world that day. And then for a individual sin, it was a goat or a ram to be offered, and the Lord makes it real personal. Not only he forgives the sins of the whole world, but he forgives an individual their sins of doing it ignorantly. Then if you jump down to 37, and after this man sinned, he said, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes upon the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on them fringes of the borders a ribband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commands of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart, and your own eyes, which ye shall use go whoring, that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto the Lord." But, you know, think about this. This is Isaiah 53 right here. Remember Isaiah? He said, "Who shall believe our report?" He didn't say who shall believe my report, but he said our report. And you can see Isaiah 53 in here. He was wounded for transgressions, for ignorance. He was bruised, put to death because of iniquity. Mm-hmm. And the stripes here, the fringes of the garments, you know, the stripes. But you might say, well, where is the part, the chastisement of our peace was upon him? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to see this upon him in scriptures. It don't, between 36 and 37, it don't have nothing to say about this. But you remember us doing the study in the Psalms 119 that the Lord, it was kind of about the alphabet, you know. It started that out with a leaf and it ended with a top. Well, here, if you remember the story here, that for the sins of the people in ignorance, a bull had to be offered. And, we said a word picture and all, but a leaf, you know, in Hebrew, is a picture of an ox head, but we see that is what has to be offered for the sins of ignorance, a strong bull, an ox head. And then here, for the sins of iniquity, we see this man perishing by picking up sticks. And the tav, which is the last Hebrew word in the alphabet, is a sign of two cross sticks, the tav. But we see that who was offered that, in this was none other than the leaf and the tav, or the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He went to the cross for you. We see, Jesus Christ, full-blown, just doing what he did for us, God himself going to the cross for us. And I thought that was, if you don't see anything else in this picture, I want you to see that the leaf and the top mm-hmm. went to
It is.
I mean, what a picture.
It is.
That is beautiful.
It is.
And I want to cut this real short. And but I notice here in how Moses here, he goes on to the 16th chapter, and he tells about Korah and his rebellion, and you know, and the earth swallows him up. And mm-hmm. just think about that, how the Gospels, you know, those that don't believe and reject, you know, that Korah rejected what Moses was telling them to do, and Korah and his family was mm-hmm. swallowed up, him and his 250 men.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked up, you know, numbers are so specific in the Bible, and I looked up, you know, the number 250, and the number 200 means insufficiency, mm. and 50 means Holy Spirit. But these people were swallowed up and for insufficiency of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And I'd read in Chinese that 250 means an idiot. You know, you're an idiot to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And accept what he's done for you. But I just, you know, Isaiah and Moses and over in First Peter, you know, and that 53rd book of Isaiah, if you count the 53 books in the Bible, is that First Peter. First Peter's the 53rd book in the Bible.
Mm.
But it's amazing how God puts numbers together, every jot, every tittle, every thing in this thing from Genesis to Revelation is just a revelation. It's a revelation of Him. But I'm gonna cut it short here, and I'm gonna let Thurston come on, and I hope y'all been blessed by that.
Oh, thank you. That was just such a blessing.
It is, Dave. I thank God for that. You know, when you talked about the 250 that was with Korah, I remember hearing Perry Stone say that when people like a pastor calls a church split, and the offshoot church that he started, it never grows beyond 250 people. And it really made me think, because I know of incidents where stuff like that have happened. And but, you know, that's just a little footnote. I thought about that, you know, when he said that. I heard it on one of his teachings a few years ago. But the Lord put something on my heart about breakthrough again. And I love, you know, this breakthrough is going to be important for us, because the Lord will help us to go forward in Him. With the Holy Spirit, we can do so much. If we have a heart to know God, we're washed in the blood. So when you're washed in the blood, anything is possible. Mary did an excellent job teaching about the blood. We're washed in the blood of Jesus, and that changes everything. And I believe and understand that through Jesus, we keep the whole law. When we believed on Jesus Christ as our Savior, we fulfill the ceremonial law, all of it. We're circumcised in the heart. We have the rest of the Sabbath. We have the destination. And if we study all the road signs and the types and shadows of Jesus, we can appreciate what we have in Him, and also what we have become in Him. And then the moral law, if we just fill our hearts with the love of God, we fulfill the moral law as well. And we're being washed in the blood, we have a new spirit. And when people, it's just like back in the garden, you've been given life. There was nothing wrong with Adam. Adam would have lived forever anyway, as long as he didn't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of life was over there for him to eat at his will. And when he And I don't know if he ever ate off of it. I know he didn't eat off of it after he ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the strength to reject what's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in the tree of life. So whenever we receive the word of God, not to show ourselves smart, not to just win an argument, not to just preach, but to live by as a way of life, we have what it takes to destroy all the desires of the world. The things of the world don't have to be a nagging, make your life a nagging existence. You can destroy it. You can drive it out. Just like if the children of Israel had driven out all the Canaanites, the more they loved God, the more they would have driven them out. And it would have been better. But they drove out many of them, a significant amount, but they didn't finish the job. And then the residue was left so that they could learn warfare. And the Lord, and they had to drive them out slowly so the animals wouldn't take over. The Lord thinks of everything. And as we follow him, we come to trust his judgment because he thinks of everything. When we desire to grow too fast, or when we desire things to manifest too fast, you know, that causes people to look around and see how we can speed things up. But the way to speed things up is to take hold of what God is continually saying, and he will take you to your destination. He will take you to the place in him that you want to be at. He will cause your life to be very effective, even more effective than you can comprehend. And I thank God for that. When he moves in our lives, that's what we need. And we don't always see the resources that are there. But as we follow God, as we follow his path, the customized path that he gives to you, it's going to take you to the place that you need to be. And you're going to be rewarded for it. And everything is well thought out. When we first met Gideon in chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, that was a problem. The Midianites had taken the whole country captive. And it stayed that way. They were driven into the caves. Their flocks were taken. Their crops were taken. And they had very little to eat. Verse 7 says, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord because of the Midianites." Verse 8 says that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of those Amorites, in which land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." Now, when he said, "Fear not the gods of the Amorites," that was the first, that's what got him there in the first place. Fearing the gods of the Amorites. Fear always attaches our lives to Satan's will. So the angel came, and that's when he found Gideon. But and the angel, verse 12 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now Gideon didn't see himself. He didn't see what the angel was talking about, because Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" The Lord likes it when we talk to him face to face. When we, you know, he told Job to talk to him like a man. voice your concerns, because the Lord can help you. At that point, he can help us go forward. So Gideon, you know, he said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." This is how he saw himself. You know, sometimes the things that we break through and come out of, that doesn't dictate. I mean, we just because we come from the least doesn't mean anything. God is going to take us where we need to be. And he saw himself not, he thought that he was unqualified. But when God qualify you, he already did qualify you through the blood. We just have to cooperate with him. Verse 16 said, "And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite thee many nights as one man." And I want to say this now. The Lord can take you and your prayers that avail much, and your actions. And I like to say puny actions, because whatever we do, it's on our part, it's just, it's like a, it could be a normal routine. It can be a puny action of prayer. Then God's going to take that and do what he has to do with it. And whatever you have to do, I guarantee you probably won't have to lift 100 pounds. But the Lord will take what you do and make it work. And he said to him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign that thou talks with that you're talking with me." And it's all right to get, you know, this, he put out a fleece, and I know that we're taught we don't have to put out fleeces, but we can dialogue with the Holy Spirit, and we can ask the Lord our questions so that we can get on board. You cannot break through. We cannot break through unless we're in agreement with God. You can't break through in disagreement. And Gideon was doing something to be in agreement. And I'm going to skip the part where he made an offering for the angel. Verse 24 says, Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grave that is by it." It took a young bullock to pull that altar down. That was up there pretty good if a bullock had to pull it down. But the first thing, we have to break through the lies of the world. We can't serve God. You know, we've been over that before. But we can't serve God with worldly attachments. Get them out of the way, because people will look at whatever we do as being all right. And God wants us to detach ourselves from things that's that will hold us down. And sorrow comes from every act of rebellion, every false way, every evil thought, every thing of the world. What if people conducted themselves precisely like Jesus told us to in the Sermon on the Mount, and also the address to the seven churches in Revelations 2 and 3? What if we spoke to people and loved them with the sincere love of God that Peter wrote about in 1 Peter chapters 1, 2, and 3? When we do these things, we become candidates for God to pour his anointing oil on. You know, sometimes people have the wisdom, but like at the church at Ephesus, he said that you have detected, and you know, people that said they were apostles and they were not, and also people that said they were Jews and were not, and that's not easy to do. And they were accurate. Now some people say, well, that guy's not an apostle, or you know, they might be jealous of him, or they might not, you know, they may not think he qualified. They could be wrong. But they were accurate, and they knew when people were not Jews that said they were. But their first love, they had to keep that. That's what makes everything go. Our first love is something that we should build on. we should always at least have our first love, and this should always ever increase by the knowledge of the word. But continuing forward, every obstacle that Gideon had, the Lord helped him address it. He trusted the Lord. That's why he succeeded. He did not know all the steps to take. He didn't know to pull that idol down. He didn't know to let go of all the men that were afraid. He let them go home. He wouldn't have known to do that. And then there were still too many. He wouldn't have known that either. And then the Lord reduced his army down to 300 men, and he agreed with him. He had to break through in order to remain in agreement. God was telling him to do things that's hard, but this guy did it because God saw what was inside him. He loved God, and sometimes that's the main thing it takes. And from there, if you can love God and trust him, you can do anything. There's nothing you can't do when you love God and you trust him. If you can trust him, you can believe him. And if you can believe him, that's faith. And you can, when you act on that belief, then you're in one accord. When you act on your faith, and God started the process, you're using your faith in the will of God. God, when the Lord reveals his will, if he gives you something to do, you have to believe it with all your heart and never doubt it. Because doubting what he revealed that proves there's an attachment of the world. Doubt doesn't come from God. Just like fear don't come from God. God don't give us fear. He don't give us doubt. He give us his word, and it produces faith in us. But when he give us specific things to do, and he tell you to do something, have faith in that. Yesterday morning, the Lord told me to pray. And he didn't tell me what to pray. He said, pray. I started praying like with understanding. I said, no, he want me to pray. I don't know what to pray. I'm praying in tongues. And I prayed in tongues off and on all day. And I did my work. Sometimes I forgot to pray. Then I thought about it and prayed some more in tongues all day. When I went to the store, I had my mask on, and that helped me. So I just prayed in tongues while I was at the store, while I was driving. And the Lord told me some things that happened. The Lord can take our puny actions and do things for people. You know, a few weeks ago, I saw a man that was in trouble. Somebody was setting him up. And while it was happening in real time, I knew the guy. He used to work with me, and I interceded for him so nothing would happen to him. But they, whatever he was into wasn't right, but people were setting him up. And I couldn't know that unless the Lord give it to me. The Lord can use your prayers, your everything that he give you to do, he can use it to bless the kingdom of God. Now, when we study Gideon and anybody that God uses, you'll find these same characteristics. They do exactly what God said do. At the beginning of Judges, when they went to war, when Benjamin did, the men of Benjamin killed the man's concubine, they raped her all night long to the point that she died. And now the Lord told them when they went to battle to deal with this problem, because they had to deal with it. Now, just like David said, they had to stone a man for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. They had to deal with this problem. And they didn't have Moses that would tell them exactly how to do it. But they sought the Lord about when to go to battle. And he said, let Judah go up. But the next verse says that Israel went up. And Benjamin slaughtered Israel three times. Well, twice. They lost many people in those first two battles, and then they won. I think they won on the third battle. But if Judah had went up, they would have had success the first time. This is why it's so important to trust whatever God say, and don't let it slip. Never let the things that God say slip. It can eat, if you're not in full agreement, it can slip. I've done it before. And I remember one time the Lord told me to do something, and I let it slip. And then things stopped happening. I said, Lord, something's wrong. What's going on? And it just came to me to go back and consider the last thing he said do. And I did. I said, wow, I didn't do that. And then he gave me a message. Sometimes a message will come, you know. It was a common problem in those days. So the Lord gave me a message saying, backtracking to success. When the Lord stopped talking and when he stops guiding, that's not normal. It's supposed to, if he's been dealing with you strongly and he's been dealing with you and waking you up, and that should continue to happen. And it was different. The Lord had stopped talking. He wasn't talking like he was, and he wasn't giving me new things to do. And I had to go back and do what he told me that I had forgotten. I had let it slip.